Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a joy it is to just come in from the world, really. And really, what a joy it is to know that you hear every prayer. And that you're always available to us, Lord. And we're so wayward and so fearful and so skitterish that we flee and run back and forth and just like little sheep. But what a shepherd. Oh, Lord, we thank you. And this morning, again, you've given us a psalm here that is almost as well known as Psalm 23. And again, to thank, Lord Jesus, that you would sing this psalm literally hours before you would be on the cross, literally hours before you would take all of the sin of the world on yourself. And when we think of that, it's so sobering, so sobering. And Lord, we see no fairness, we see no justice. This whole psalm shows us how unfair it was, Lord, for you to take all of the sin of the world on yourself. And you have done everything and we've done nothing. And your amazing love for us, Lord, is just unbelievable. So help us to glean from that this morning a bit in this psalm. And also, Lord, to respond, because there is a response in this psalm as well. Responses, really. So lead us now in Psalm 116. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll read this psalm and just listen as carefully as you can. And if you have your Bibles, follow in the Bible. And again, I think it's so good to have Bibles. I've got enough notes on Psalm 116 to do a study no matter where I am, as long as I have my Bible. I don't mean that with confidence. I just mean it's good. It's good. 19 verses. My Bible entitles it Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. Just think about that for a minute. How thankful are you to have been delivered from death? Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Another Hallel song, and as I mentioned as we began, this was a song that Jesus would have sung probably on the way from the upper room to Gethsemane. We know when they left, it says, and they sang hymns to the Lord, and these six Hallel psalms are believed to have been sung, and the last ones now, these ones we're in now, after the dinner. The first couple were probably before the dinner. So let's just sing this old Maranatha praise song, I Love You, Lord, because we begin with saying, I love the Lord because. So you can be thinking about some becauses in there for you. But let's just sing this song together. I love you, Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he inclined because he has inclined his ear to me. That is such a profound thing, isn't it? That the God of this universe will hear you when you call. Just think about that. Why would he want to hear from you? Why would he want to hear from me? Why would he even hear from us?
Yeah.
We're just like, what, 8 billion minions running around here on the earth? But the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard. How thankful are we because he hears our prayers? He's inclined his ear to me. It doesn't mean he just hears it as one of many sounds and not paying any attention to it, but he's inclined his ear. He's listening up. If you can think of a horse, for example, and there's a sound in the distance, you know, their ears pop up, go toward that sound, or some dogs, for example. So here we have, he has inclined his ear to me. Now, you'll see there are 37 personal pronouns in this psalm, of mostly I's, but including the my's and me's and mine's. 37 times, this is a very personal psalm to the writer here, very personal. And he's been going through some great times. Apparently, he's very near death, and his people around him have let him down or stabbed him in the back, as we'll see a little bit later on. But he keeps coming back in just such praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for who he is. So that's the beginning. I love the Lord because he has heard my prayers and because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, there's 6 I wills in here in English. There's actually 8 in the Hebrew, but there's 6 I wills. So we need to be serious and careful about making vows to the Lord. We shouldn't be sitting here saying, I will do something, and then not do it. Pastor Chuck would always say, don't make any vows, because chances are you'll break them, and it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. However, I can see why we want our hearts prepared to do what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist is saying, because he hears my prayers, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, that's probably a vow you can keep, because I can't imagine any of us not calling on the Lord. I can imagine we call on the Lord a lot more intensively when things are bad than when they're good. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, another thing that comes to mind there, think of what a listener he is. How good a listener am I? How good a listener are you? I think he's the only one for us that will listen to everything we want to say. Because after you complain and gripe for a few minutes, the person you're talking to doesn't want to hear any more about that. They've heard enough, right? You told me that 15 times already. I got the message. But God doesn't say that, does he? He just listens. The pains of death surround me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. Now, it's really should make us so grateful when we read these Old Testament psalms, because they didn't have the assurance of going absent from the body, present with the Lord. They went into a holding place called Sheol. They didn't even know what it was or how long it would be, but that's what they called it. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. So very fearful. What's ahead after I take my last breath? I know the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I believe the Messiah is going to come. But, of course, the Messiah hadn't come yet in the Old Testament. And so they look forward to going to a place where they didn't know what it was. Luke 16 hadn't been written yet. Luke 16 is probably a good commentary for us on Sheol. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow. I can believe so. I can believe so. Without having the assurance of the living hope that we have, that would be trouble and sorrow when you were facing death. But then I called upon the name of the Lord. In trouble and sorrow, I think we always will call upon the name of the Lord. We should. Now, maybe we'll call on him last. We should call on him first, right? Then I called upon the name of the Lord, and he says, "Oh, Lord." By the way, Lord is mentioned 15 times in this psalm. "Oh, Lord, I implore you, I beg you, I beseech you, deliver my soul." Now, what are the characteristics of the Lord? Again, we have gracious, righteous, and merciful here. Isn't this wonderful? Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. So, another, I love the Lord because, right? Because he is gracious, because he is righteous, because he is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Don't you like that? The world doesn't want to pay much attention to the simple. But our Lord does. The Lord preserves the simple. "I was brought low, and he saved me." When's the last time, or maybe today, I don't know, you've really been brought low? Maybe your tank is empty. Maybe you just feel spent. You know down deep in your heart what he's done for you, but you just feel out of gas right now. Well, here's what the psalmist then says, is, "Return to your rest, O my soul." How concerned are you about what's going on in Israel? Well, there's some concern should be there for the tragedy that's going on. But there should be some great excitement, because that's what the Bible said would happen in these last days, and we're getting closer and closer and closer, right? So are you all bound up in fear over that? Or are you returning to your rest, O my soul, for what? The Lord has dealt. It doesn't say he will deal. He has dealt. That's past tense. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Can you identify that? What he has done for us that has nothing to do with the world conditions, has nothing to do with what goes on in this world. I'm talking about the eternal things now. The eternal things long after this world has passed away. He has dealt bountifully with us forever. Goes on to say, "For you have delivered my soul from death." Again, a past tense. You have delivered my soul from death. Jesus said what? If you live and believe in me, you will never die, right? You have delivered my soul from death. You've delivered my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. Wow. There's another "I will." We're going to have five more of them here. "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Are you walking before the Lord today? You're in the land of the living right now. What kind of a witness am I? What kind of a walk do I have? "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke." Am I doing that? Do I believe? Yes. Am I speaking? Do people know that? Am I passing the word on? Am I giving out the gospel? "I believe, therefore I spoke." Now, I think we see some issues here with the psalmist. We think it's David. We don't know for sure. It's the Spirit writing, really. But he's had some betrayers of trust and so forth. He says, "I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste," What have you said in your haste that you wish you hadn't said? But he said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." And that's probably true. But we can say, "But he is faithful," right? But he is faithful. So who is the only one you can totally trust is him. So now what can I do? What does the Lord need? What does the Lord need from me? What does the Lord need from you? Well, the question is, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, I think it's easy for us to get some kind of an idea of the benefits that he's given us. Can you imagine what he's done for us? Taken us from the pit of hell, taken us from the bondage of sin, delivered us everlasting into his kingdom, into his family. So what do you do for him? What does he need? Well, obviously he doesn't need anything. But here's what the psalmist says. I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. Oh, how grateful we should be for that fact, that what he has done for us. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He wants to hear from us. He wants that relationship and call upon the name of the Lord. He will say, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That means I'm going to tell everybody about him. I hope I show everybody my life, of which would call all of them to him and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That's right here this morning, the presence of all his people. And now we have kind of a strange verse thrown in here. I think it shows the sensitivity and of the psalmist, the spirit. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, I don't want to die. Oh, I don't want to die. Oh, I fear dying. Oh, I don't want to die. Well, it's precious in his sight. He wants us to be with him, right? So when he calls you, don't fight it. Go. Now we can hardly wait, we say, and then we start really right to the last minute. But I know some of you have probably been with saints who have taken their last breath, and others have been very close to that time. And I don't think I've ever seen times basically where it's more sensing the presence of God than in such a moment as that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am your servant. Can I say that? Lord, I truly am your servant. And then he repeats it for emphasis. I am your servant. And then he brings mom into it, the son of your maidservant. And so the psalmist's mother must have been totally committed to the Lord here. So I'm your servant on my own behalf, and even also on my heritage's behalf here, to the point of my mother, my maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. You have loosed my bonds. Oh, how we were bound by sin, right? You have loosed my bonds. So now here is what we will do for him. Earlier we said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? First, I will take the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord, pay my vows. Now he says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Wow. How thankful are we? He wants us to be in another place, a living sacrifice, we read. But what he says here, the psalmist, I will offer to the Lord the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the sacrifice we can all make. Some things I don't think we have to offer him, really, maybe, but we certainly have thankfulness, don't we? I will offer to him, or to you, Lord, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So I put down in my notes here in my Bible, how willing am I? And again, repeating, and will call upon the name of the Lord. We had in verse 2, a call upon him. As long as I live. Verse 12, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 17, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Then again, repeating verse 14 and verse 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, people, O Jerusalem. So for an Israelite, that's pretty much every place. In and out of the temple, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the people, and in Jerusalem, which kind of stands for the center of it all. And then the close again. Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this psalm, and it is so instructive and so much of a little test for us as well. Where do we stand in these various things? Because we can relate to them so clearly. May we thank you, Lord. May we praise you, Lord, this day. May we call upon your name, and may that name go to all of those that you put in our path today, Lord. Lead us now in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Well, Father, as we kind of come to the end of the hour, it always seems to go so quickly, but may we continue in prayer, Lord. And Lord, you know the word tunnel was mentioned, and the big war is going to be in the tunnels, 300 miles of tunnels they have dug under Gaza, apparently. But the first, the surface has to be neutralized. And anyway, Lord, all details. And we know that that's not the only hot spot in the world. We're on a cauldron all around. But I just pray today, joining in the prayers already that have been lifted up for the lost, Lord, and in each of our individual contacts, that we would pray fervently for the lost, because a lost person doesn't matter. There's war or no war, they're going to be eternally separated from you. And similarly for the saints, we're with you no matter what happens. So it's not so serious for us, but every unbeliever, they're a week closer to their last breath than they were last week when we prayed. So may we be in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Let's close with a praise song. Because we're in the Hallel Psalms, praise the Lord. So I will praise him. I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. So let's stand and sing this, if you would.
Open wide for all my sin.
I obeyed the Spirit's word.
Amen. A couple of other quick updates before we break. In understanding a little bit more what caused this Hamas attack, if you look at the close alliance between Israel and Saudi, Iran is kind of desperate to break that up because Iran and Saudi are in a kind of a battle on nuclear superiority, who is going to get on the right side. And of course, Iran is backed by Russia and China. And if you're wondering why the great intelligence system of Israel failed to pick this up, it's because that Russia and China and Iran use cyber warfare to block all of the electronic stuff going on in Israel, so they didn't have any sense of anything happening. So just, we know we're wide open, the whole world's wide open for cyber attacks. Yeah. I mean, one little cyber attack would wipe this country out and right away. But our faith is in trust is in Him, you know? Yeah. And so prayer's been made today, draw everybody to Him. That's kind of a good prayer, kind of a tough prayer, because you know what that's going to take? Just think about 9/11, how full the churches were for about 2 or 3 months. And to bring the whole world to its knees, of course, we'll see that happening soon in the Great Tribulation. But even then, we'll see they still won't come, even though they're chewing their pain and chewing their tongue in pain. But what an opportunity today. We're still here today. We may not be here tomorrow, but we're here today. So may the light shine forth through each of us. Thank you for coming so much.